Folks struggling to care for family members with serious disabilities have a powerful tool to help with expenses. I am Rob West. That tool is called the ABLE account, an acronym for Achieving a Better Life Experience. Matt Severson joins us today with everything you need to know about ABLE accounts. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome Matt Severson to the program for the first time. Matt's a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor in Overland Park, Kansas. He's also a specialist in helping families understand and set up ABLE accounts. Matt, great to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Rob. It's an honor to be here and share this important information about ABLE accounts.
Yeah, it is important and often, I think, misunderstood or even unknown. So I'm looking forward to diving into this. These are similar, Matt, to 529 education savings accounts as far as contributions and taxes go, right?
That's exactly right, Rob. In fact, in the early days, they were called 529A plans.
Mm.
And the A stands for ABLE, Achieving a Better Life Experience. But they're like a sister account that operates very similarly.
Yes.
But for different purposes.
Yes. So explain that. What does that then mean to listeners in terms of how they work?
Sure. So if you have a child or an adult with permanent disabilities that has been on government assistance, you know that they are typically constrained to $2,000 worth of assets and get currently about $948 a month from the government through what's called supplemental security income. Mm. Well, for most of your listeners, it's hard to live on $943 a month and
yes.
$2,000 of assets the rest of your life. So the ABLE account allows you to pay for anything that's needed for the person with disabilities, pretty much regardless of the need. So it's far expanded beyond education alone, which is the 529 plans are typically constrained to.
Mm, yeah. And basically, this helps to fight against the way the financial system has been built with regard to people that have disabilities, right?
Correct. People with disabilities might be absolutely able to work and be an active participant in the community, yet they've been impoverished and have to virtually spend everything that comes in, which may or may not be for their benefit. So this opens up the door to be able to work and have a productive life if they're able,
yes, right.
Using the ABLE account to put their excess income into, and others can support them through this without jeopardizing their monthly government income.
Yeah. Okay, so these are for folks on supplemental security income, as you said, around $900 a month and less than $2,000 in assets. So this does not affect that $2,000 asset limit. Now, how much can folks who are funding these accounts for a disabled person put in per year?
Yeah, great question. So up to $18,000 per year is the new number. That's the amount that you can contribute to the account. It also happens to be the amount you can gift to anyone around you with no tax consequences. That's the annual gift tax exclusion amount. So that's the amount that, whether it's grandma and grandpa contributing, whether it's the person with disabilities themselves, whether it's mom and dad, aunts and uncles, your $18,000 is the maximum that can be contributed to the account each year.
Okay. And then what about the cap for a lifetime?
The cap for the lifetime, it's interesting. It coincides with the 529 plan limits that states impose, which is could be $300,000 to $500,000 depending on your state. But the unique thing about the ABLE account, different from the 529 plans, is that you don't want to go past a total balance of $100,000. Okay? If you go past $100,000 in your balance, then SSI turns off temporarily until you rectify that situation. Spend it on something, go on a trip, whatever. Get it back under 100, then you can keep going with it. So it might take several years to get to that spot, depending on what you need it for.
Yeah, very good. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. We'll talk about who's eligible for an ABLE account. What are those qualified expenses you can use it on? And are there qualifications? And what about the states and how do they interact with the ABLE programs? Matt Severson with us today, a certified Kingdom advisor. We're talking about ABLE accounts for those with disabilities. Following this interview, your questions today at 800-525-7000. Call right now, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. How would you feel if you knew someone had prayed for you today? Could you be anything but encouraged, especially if it's been a tough week at work or at home? You'd feel loved, cared for. Usually it's family and friends or people at church who pray for one another, but even if no one on earth was praying for you, there is someone always praying for those who belong to Christ. Hebrews 7:25 tells us that He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him because He always lives to intercede for them. So next time you feel alone, remember, your Lord Jesus is praying for you. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
God hasn't promised you or me that we're going to sail through life with a get-home-free pass and not have any difficulty. But what God has promised is that His grace is sufficient for every need we will ever have. Amen?
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Courage to Conquer, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope, and now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and His salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-5577.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. With me today, Matt Severson. Matt is a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor in Overland Park, Kansas. Matt's sharing with us today about the ABLE account. That's the A-B-L-E, which stands for Achieving a Better Life Experience. And Matt, before the break, you were sharing who this is for. Just recap that. Who are we talking about specifically when we talk about the use of these ABLE accounts?
Yeah, great question, Rob. So ABLE accounts are designed for people receiving supplemental security income, either currently receiving or will be receiving once they become an adult at 18. So it's for those that qualify with a permanent disability prior to age 26.
Okay.
Could be an intellectual disability, could be a physical disability, but it's someone that hasn't been working necessarily, but wants to, but is on supplemental security income with that $2,000 asset limit for their lives.
Okay. Now, I know there's been a recent change in the law that actually will eventually push that 26-year-old onset age higher, correct?
That's correct. Ironically, on 1-1 of 2026, the age of onset goes to 46.
Okay.
So that's where, as long as the age of onset has happened by age 46, you can use it. So this isn't just for children with disabilities. It's for all ages with disability. You just have to meet that onset requirement that's verifiable by the doctor.
Okay. And then another common situation would be a parent who may be listening to this program who's adopted.
Yes.
And the adopted child has a severe disability that will prohibit them or impact their ability to earn a living down the road, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So it's awesome to adopt a child with special needs. We've done that in my family. And I also have a daughter who was born unexpectedly with Down syndrome. Hmm. So Down syndrome is going to be with her the rest of her life. There's not a pill you can take to make Down syndrome go away. It's a wonderful blessing and it's fantastic. But the ABLE account will be perfect for her to be able to use to have resources and be able to work out in the community.
Yes, and that doesn't impact her SSI.
Correct.
At around $900 a month. Very good. Now, give us an idea of what counts as a qualified disability expense, because before the break, you said basically they can use it for anything. Explain that.
Yeah. So here's the formal definition. A qualified disability expense means any expense related to the designated beneficiary, the person we're taking care of, as a result of living a life with disabilities. So any expense needed as a result of living a life with disabilities. That's pretty broad, Rob.
Yes, it sure is.
Yeah.
Very good. So anything they can think of, I mean, whether that's food, clothing, housing, transportation, even education and travel, right?
Yeah, exactly. And one unique thing about ABLE, and remember that most people haven't even heard of this, but it's been around 10 years now. In 2024, we're celebrating the 10-year anniversary of the ABLE account creation. It's typically a companion account for the longstanding tradition of having a special needs trust for a person with disabilities. And one unique little thing with SSI is if SSI finds out that you're using a special needs trust to provide food and housing, that's counted as income that offsets SSI.
Mm.
On the flip side, ABLE accounts, it's income that's excluded in SSI's eyes. So you can use the ABLE accounts for housing and food, where you need to be more careful with that, with the special needs trust funding those particular needs. So lots of little nuances here. And
yeah.
That's where I just want to say it's not ABLE or nothing, or it's not ABLE, don't worry about the special needs trust. No, it's a companion. It's probably a both and for families.
Yes.
Keep in mind it's a companion strategy for families serving kids with disabilities.
Yeah, that's really helpful, because the reality is if we think about their life beyond you as their caretaker and provider, mm-hmm. we may need a lot more than $100,000 to provide for them, right?
Yes. So the special needs trust is important because that might provide a greater amount of resources to support everything they need long term. But the $100,000 limit is like a relief valve where they can work to their level of ability, be included, be in the community, and not worry about this constraint of the $2,000 per year.
Yes, very good. Matt, you mentioned that the ABLE was built on the 529 chassis, we could call it, that we think about in terms of college savings. Those are operated by states, each state having their own. Is it the same with the ABLE account, and where do you go to open these?
Yes, sir. So it is the same. These are state-sponsored plans based on the federal government creating the program. So there's only four states that don't have their own ABLE account at this point. So one of the best places I can send you that is objective and provides all the information you need, and then you can get state-specific, is the website called the ABLE National Resource Center.
Okay.
ablenrc.org is the website. So that will allow you to say, hey, I'm from Kansas or Iowa or Pennsylvania. How do I set up my ABLE account for my person with special needs?
Yes, very good. And if their state doesn't have one, they will direct them to somewhere else.
Yeah, you can just use a neighboring state. It's okay to use somebody else's program. Like I operate my practice in Kansas. Kansas allows you to use any state's 529 plan, which would also apply to ABLE accounts. However, there's some special features within the Kansas ABLE program that other states don't have. So there's some nuances to be aware of based on your state of residency and what's possible. The ultimate rule is that you can only have one of these accounts open per beneficiary at a time.
Yeah, very good. Matt, what about investments inside an ABLE account? I know 529 College Savings allows that. Do we see that feature?
Yeah, so very similar to how 529 plan college education accounts are built, where they're going to have preset portfolios based on the state, who the state partnered with to create the investment arrangements. So you're going to have anything from an aggressive allocation to a middle of the road, balanced allocation to a conservative allocation. But what might be even more important for people with special needs is they just need a straightforward checking account that has FDIC insurance with a debit card.
Yeah.
So tucked inside of this ABLE account, you can have a portion of that be your, let's call it your checking account with FDIC insured cash, and they'll give you a debit card, and then the rest of the account can be invested in another type of allocation that you choose that fits what you're trying to use the money for.
Yeah, very good. And Matt, do some states offer a state income tax deduction for contributions?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So similar to how whatever deduction you get for college education 529 plans, you're going to get that same deduction for the ABLE account.
Mm.
Now, the state has to approve that, but just assume, I should say, double check with your state to
yes.
confirm that the ABLE deduction coincides with the 529 plan college education deduction. It should be very similar, but that ABLE National Resource Center website should spell that out. Or your state treasurer's website, well, it should also have a link to your particular plan.
Very good. Well, Matt, this has been really helpful. We've covered a lot of ground here today, and I'm confident that some folks have found out about this ABLE account for the first time, and it will be a real blessing to the disabled or special needs person in their life. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Yep, you're very welcome, Rob. I hope that someone listening today will be able to help their loved one with a disability achieve a better life experience.
I'm confident they will.
I appreciate being here.
Absolutely. Folks, that website again to learn more and find out the best state for you is ablenrc.org. That's ablenrc.org. All right, we're back with your questions on any financial topic after this. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, helping you apply God's wisdom to the practical decisions you're making today. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need to YouTube.
Banned one day. Banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Isn't it interesting that the first department store to allow cross-dressing individuals into either restroom was the same store which later marketed LGBTQ-themed clothing for children? Some of those clothes actually included a satanic logo. Target is a perfect illustration of the slippery slope which is moral decline. Such corporate policies accelerate depravity and endanger our wives and daughters who use Target restrooms or changing areas. Learn more and sign the Target Boycott Pledge at AFA.net.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, and it's time to take your calls and questions today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Whether you want to talk about living, giving, or owing, perhaps even growing God's money, we'll tackle any and all of those when you call right now with lines open. And we look forward to hearing your story and being invited into what God's doing in your life so we can help you think about the decisions you're making as a steward of God's resources and bring biblical wisdom to bear in the process. Let's dive in. Today we're going to begin in Kansas. Cheryl, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I have a simple question that I'm confused about. I have a granddaughter who's disabled. She has rods in her back and everything because her scoliosis was so severe. And but I wanted to run this to her parents in case they're not listening at ablenrc.org. But how do you spell able? I mean,
yes,
is it A-A-B-L for assisting a better life? Or?
Yeah, it's A-B-L-E, and that stands for achieving a better, so the second A is silent, if you will, achieving a better life experience, A-B-L-E. So you'll go to A-B-L-E-N-R-C.org, and you can learn all about it.
A-B-L-E. Okay, well, I figured, but achieving a, okay. All right, thank you, sir. That's basically all I needed. I'll get out of here so somebody else can get on.
All right, and I'm delighted this information was useful to you. This may be a great tool for them. So thanks for checking in. Let's talk to another Cheryl in Arkansas. Go right ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I have a brother who's disabled, and this is great. I've never heard of the ABLE account. But my question was, can his SSI check be deposited directly into that account?
Yeah. So what is his situation? He has a disability?
Yeah, he had a traumatic brain injury as an infant.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. So you can do a direct deposit securely and quickly, either from the Social Security Administration or their paycheck. So that absolutely is possible.
Okay, because I don't understand all of it. I know sometimes you have to show that you've used their money or something.
So it has to be used directly for their benefit, but you get all of the the benefits that Matt talked about today related to the account when you're using them, in the sense that it doesn't disqualify you for government benefits when the money is in there. But you absolutely can direct deposit right into that account. You'll go in, to your account, set up through a transfer, a direct deposit, and then that goes right in. Now, these are tax advantage savings accounts. As long as you qualify based on the disability that you have by the age that it was onset, and then it can be used for what they call qualified disability-related expenses. So we're talking education, housing, transportation, employment training, personal support services, healthcare expenses, even financial management, and any really other expenses. It's very liberal in terms of how the money can be used, as long as it's for the individual that it was set up for who qualifies based on their disability.
Okay, that sounds great. My dad is actually 95 and my brother still lives with him. Mm-hmm. But when my dad passes, he will live with me or my sister. And okay. So we'll be taking care of him.
Yes.
So we don't really need his money. It'll just go into that account. So what happens when he passes? He's older than we are.
Yes. So in terms of what would happen to the money in the ABLE account?
Yes.
Yeah. And are you talking about when your dad passes away or when
my brother passes? Yeah.
Okay.
When the disabled passes.
Sure. So what happens there is basically there's a beneficiary of the ABLE account. And so you'll see the owner, you'll see the designated beneficiary. And then after that money is, you know, after that person passes away, then it would be able to be passed on to somebody else, but they wouldn't enjoy the same tax benefits.
Okay. Thanks. That helps a lot.
All right. Thank you for calling, Cheryl. We appreciate you being on the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Let's go to quickly to Virginia. Hi, Stephanie. Go ahead.
My name is Stephanie. I'm from Virginia. I had a question. I'm 64, and I'm trying to figure out for retirement whether I should try to pay off my home. Now, we don't get the benefit of the mortgage with the Schedule A on our taxes the past 3 years, and we're trying to figure out which way to go. We have $144,000 left on the house payment.
Okay.
And we have four CDs. We took all of our money out of the stock market because we lost so much, and I know you're not supposed to do that, but we got scared. So we have four CDs, around $500,000, getting around 5.5% right now. We have $109,000 in cash still, and I'm trying to see if I should go ahead and pay off the house so I can retire around 66.
Yeah.
I think my full retirement 67.
Okay. Yeah, very good. So run through the assets again that you have. What did you say you had in CDs?
$500,000.
Okay. And are you pulling any income from that currently?
No, I'm still working full time. My husband gets SSDI around $981 a month. We do have a daughter with a disability that we're taking care of her as well.
Okay.
So I don't know if the ABLE account would work with her or not.
It sure could. And again, this would be really helpful for her once you all are gone, because that then would have, you know, funds in it that would, again, allow her still to qualify for government assistance, but be able to use this for her living expenses, you know, beyond your life. Now, you may use it alongside a special needs trust, but certainly the ABLE account by itself, if you all were to be funding that either now or at death, that would give her the funds that she could use, you know, when you all are gone and no longer able to care for her. So that's something I would probably talk to an estate planning attorney about alongside the rest of your estate plan as you're thinking about your own will and or trust, that type of thing. So let's do this. I've got to take a break. When we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on the rest of your question. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7.05 p.m. Central, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got one line open today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Coming up in the next segment, Bob Dahl will stop by. He'll join us with his market commentary, help us understand exactly what's going on in the stock market, the latest economic data. That's all just around the corner with Bob Dahl. All right, back to the phones. Before the break, we were talking to Stephanie in Virginia. She and her husband have about $500,000 in CDs. He's bringing in $981 a month on Social Security disability. She is working and making about $60,000 a year. They've got a mortgage of about $145,000 on a home that's worth about $360,000. She's looking to wait to collect Social Security until she's 67, which is 3 years from now. He's got a bit longer than that, but she'd like to start slowing down. They believe they can downsize their spending a bit, but just trying to figure out, should we pay off the house? How should we think about managing what we have moving forward? And what I would say to you, Stephanie, well, let me ask first, what is the interest rate on that mortgage?
I think it's 3.25%.
Okay, yeah. So I'd probably not drop all that money on the house currently. And what I would try to do is accelerate the payoff of this just through current cash flow, if you can. I mean, I realize with $20,000 in savings, and I know you got a major foundation repair coming up, so that's going to deplete most of that. So we want to build that back up to 3 months' expenses. But I'd rather you hang on to that $500,000 at the moment, and let's just try to pay this down out of current cash flow. You always can pay it off down the road. And so, you know, that would be an opportunity you have in the future. But I think the key for you all is the longer you can continue to work, the better, because, you know, we want to get at least a full retirement age to get your maximum Social Security benefit. If we could get you all the way to age 70, and I realize, you know, there's a question there as to how much, you know, work you want to continue to do. I know you're traveling as a therapist. That takes a toll on you physically. And so I'm not saying that that's even a possibility, but I think, you know, the closer you can get to 70, that's 8% a year more that you would have, added to that check for the rest of your life. And then I think just even now, right-sizing your spending to try to dial back those expenses as much as you can so that you can maximize whatever working years you still have, because I know you're putting, you know, $200 or $300 a month away. If you could get that up to, let's say, $500 a month, that would be ideal, because then we could begin building back up that emergency fund that's about to be nearly depleted, and continue to add to your investment account, because that account's really going to be key. I mean, let's say we could grow that to $650,000 between now and retirement, you know, that would throw off about $2,000 a month. I would feel comfortable with you pulling 4% a year or $24,000 off of that every month that you could use to supplement Social Security. And the idea would be that if we can sync up the timing of the payoff of the mortgage with retirement, with you getting maximum Social Security benefit and being able to pull a couple of thousand a month from your savings, your half a million that's continuing to grow, then, you know, the idea would be that you'd, through a properly diversified investment strategy, you'd never deplete that half million. You could just live off the income and the appreciation and basically kind of maintain that principal balance. And that way that money's there if you ever need it for long-term care or anything that would require you to tap into it at a more significant level. But I'd let that continue to grow and just keep paying on the mortgage, and let's just try to get that down as low as we can between now and retirement. The last thing I'll say, and then I'll get your thoughts, is I think this is an opportunity for you to engage an advisor, because although it's pretty simple right now with CD rates being so attractive, that's about to begin to, you know, get less attractive as interest rates come down. And I think your ability to grow this money over the next 5 years until retirement, and then beyond that, recognizing if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you need this money to last well into your 90s, if not beyond. And so therefore, we would typically, with a portfolio like this, even if you're drawing an income, you'd probably want about 30% in stocks, maybe the lion's share in bonds with a small allocation of gold, maybe in a portfolio that would, you know, allow you to take these distributions and maintain the principal balance. But I wouldn't try to do that on your own unless you have that expertise. I'd hire an advisor to do that for you. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, we do have an extra, we do have an advisor, and I guess we lost so much that we just didn't feel like, and it's the first time we've invested. So we are having, you know, he's letting us do kind of what we want to do, but I think maybe we would look for another advisor. We do have some $109,000 that's still just cash, but it's in with our financial account. So if we pulled that, I guess we would have to pay interest on it. But I guess we were just looking. We're paying like $6,000 a year on interest for the house, and we didn't feel like we were getting that much back. So would it be better? We are.
Yeah, I mean, you are offsetting it. Go ahead.
We are putting an extra $250 a month towards our mortgage, so we're paying like $15-something.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's never anything bad with paying off the house. I love that idea, but I like the fact that you're continuing to accelerate the payoff out of current cash flow. You're keeping this money working for you, which the compounding effect is going to be key, and you're outpacing it right now with the CD interest. But if you guys wanted to create a plan where maybe you pay it off, you know, you figure out how much extra do we need to send a year to have it paid off by the time we reach full retirement age at 67. Maybe you do it, you know, 1/4 of that every year. And that way you keep this money working for you without just putting $150,000 down on it today. So I think there perhaps is a middle ground here that allows you to enter retirement debt free, but still keep some of this capital working for you in the meantime. So hopefully that helps you, Stephanie. We appreciate you being on the program today. May the Lord bless you. Quickly to Arkansas. Connie, go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi.
One thing I was going to say, I was just going to say that my grandson qualified for the SSI, and when he needed to get a job when he became an adult, we were under the impression that he had to stay within those Social Security guidelines of less than $2,000, or
yes,
he had to continue to draw in order for him to continue to have his state-sponsored Medicaid. But we found out that there is a program called 1619B that is, you continue your medical coverage regardless of the amount of money that you make, and as long as you are subject to, you are still subject to the SSI rule.
Yeah.
But with the ABLE account, you can have more, you can put that money away and be over that $2,000.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's one of the real benefits here, Connie. I appreciate you pointing this out. You know, that first $100,000 in the ABLE account is exempt from that $2,000 individual resource limit for SSI. So it just becomes a really powerful tool that allows you to, you know, have some assets specifically for the benefit of the disabled person for all of their living expenses, again, with very liberal rules for its use, but allows them to continue to maintain access to that government benefit through SSI, which is just a real opportunity and why I think folks need to know about this. Again, ablenrc.org is the place to go. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back. Stick around.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at afr.net.
When we talk about politics, we tend to, as Christians, kind of set aside our faith and say, well, in the political arena, I identify more as a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative versus a liberal. The biblical worldview genuinely is the foundation and the basis for everything that we do, including our involvement in and analyzing civil government.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
My grocery bill went up 11% this year. Gas, utilities, rent, all went up. But my paycheck, the same. I also pay for my own healthcare, a huge expense. A friend recommended Christian Healthcare Ministries as an option to insurance, and CHM helps pay for medical needs while allowing some breathing room in my budget. Open enrollment is here, so make the switch today with potential cost savings up to 40%. Christian Healthcare Ministries at chministries.org/faithfi.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, but here in this final segment, Bob Dahl is going to join us here in just a second. Bob is Chief Executive Officer and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. And Bob, obviously a lot going on in the markets. We've got Bitcoin and gold through the roof. Still a lot of strength in the market, although the last couple of days we've seen some sell-off. So just give us a high-level view of what you're seeing.
So yeah, the momentum's been great, Rob, and all kinds of scores, especially the economy's been fine, earnings have been fine, and people have cash, and so they're buying stocks. As you point out, the last few days, a little fly in the ointment. We'll see if it has any legs to it. Among the issues are Apple and their business in China, and so that stock has broken down technically and probably needs some consolidation. That's obviously a big mover in the market. And then all kinds of speculation, attention to the Fed chair's Humphrey Hawkins testimony in Congress next couple days, and the monthly employment report on Friday, Rob, and that's just keeping everybody kind of in suspense.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Bob, as you look at the rest of the world, I know you had some comments just about the role on the global front economically of the U.S. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, we can complain about the U.S. economy, but we look like the paragon of strength compared to many other big countries. You think about Japan and China, Germany, the U.K. Those four countries are either in recession or flirting with one and really struggling. So without the U.S., the globe would probably be flirting with a recession.
Yeah, no question about it. Bob, as we come back home and just look at the strength of the S&P, I mean, it's been incredibly powerful. And you had some remarks about just what we've seen in terms of the increases versus historically speaking. Share that with us.
Yeah, let me give the positive and then the concern. The positive is the S&P 500 has been up 16 of the last 18 weeks, Rob. 16 out of 18. That has not happened in over 50 years. That's how strong the stock market has been. Now, on the other side of the coin, if you want to get out of the bearish side of the bed, when we have P.E. ratios above 20, which is where we are today, subsequent 1, 3, 5, and 10-year returns have averaged 3.9, 4.4, 5.5, and 3.0%, kind of at best mid-single digits. And so probably that's what we're looking at over the next 5 and 10 years. Doesn't mean we can't make money, Rob, but it's going to be a lot harder and returns are probably not going to be as robust because of the starting point.
Yeah. All right. That's helpful, Bob. You know, as we continue to evaluate this, obviously the consumer and the strength of the consumer has been at the core of this economy continuing to stay strong despite the headwinds that we have. Any signs that's breaking down?
Not really. I mean, we've seen some softening in labor demand. Nominal wage growth is slowing a little bit. But, you know, that's like fine-tuning it, Rob. The consumer and labor contributing to the consumer has been amazingly strong over the last 12 months. I would point out that excess savings accumulated during COVID, which has been a big deal, is winding down. So that's another variable that we need to keep our eye on and probably will create some consumption weakness.
Yeah, very good. All right, Bob, last thing, and this is obviously not a fun topic. You and I talk about it periodically, but when we turn our attention to the U.S. debt situation, I mean, I was looking at some stats over the weekend. I mean, over the last 100 days, U.S. debt is up $1 trillion. I mean, $10 billion a day. We're about to hit $35 trillion. I mean, we're looking at a U.S. deficit for the year that will cross $3 trillion. I mean, when does this become concerning, or is it already there? And where do we go from here?
Yeah, it is concerning. There's not one.
Oh, I think we lost you there, Bob. You're back with us. Go ahead.
Okay. It is accumulation over time just makes it more and more difficult. Or the longer we wait to deal with it, the harder it's going to be, Rob. You got to pay your bills. And we as a country have ignored that. And borrowed and borrowed and borrowed. The sin, if I can use that word, is running such big structural deficits when unemployment is low and the economy is good. It's okay to run a deficit when things are weak, but not when things are strong. So we're going to have to confront this at some point in time, or the bond market, the so-called bond vigilantes, will come out and smack us over the head, and we'll have higher interest rates, lower bond prices, lower stock prices, and a threat to the economy.
Yeah, well, it's obviously something we'll keep a close eye on, but I appreciate you weighing in on it, Bob. All right, thanks for stopping by, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Executive Officer and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global, where investments and values intersect. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. All right. Here in our final moments of the broadcast today, let's dive back in. We'll get to as many questions as we can. Randy's in Louisiana waiting patiently. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Mr. West. My question is, I'm on permanent federal workers' comp. And I'm wondering if I'll be able to draw Social Security when it comes time.
Yeah, and you're talking about just regular Social Security benefits, not disability benefits. Is that right?
Right. I've been told I can't draw the disability benefits.
Okay. Well, okay. So separate from workers' comp, you've been told that you can't get disability, or because you're on workers' comp?
Because I'm on workers' comp. I can't get disability.
Okay. I mean, it is possible to receive both. I mean, there are some pretty strict eligibility requirements. They both have different requirements for approval. SSDI provides income when you're unable to work for an extended period, regardless of whether your condition's related to your job. Workers' comp, of course, is just for the injuries or illnesses suffered on or as a result of the job. Now, if you're receiving workers' comp, it does or it may affect how much you receive from SSDI and vice versa. The total of both benefits can't exceed 80% of what Social Security determines to be your average current earnings prior to when you became disabled. If they do, then SSA will reduce your SSDI to get under that cap. And so what I would do is go through the application process. You know, it generally takes a few weeks for the workers' comp claim to be approved. Sounds like that's already happened for you. And then the SSDI applications of 5 month process or more. But it absolutely is possible to receive both at the same time. And you can absolutely collect workers' comp and Social Security retirement benefits, so standard benefits. But again, the key is that the sum of these benefits can't exceed 80% of your average earnings before your disability. So that's that workers' comp offset rule that they talk about. So I think that's the key as you just look at the total amount that you could receive between the two. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I've already had the SSDI, and I had to pay it back.
Okay.
Because I wasn't eligible or because of the offset. I had to pay back what I had gotten in order to clear it. And I was just wondering, is it the same rule for regular Social Security?
Yeah, so that offset is going to apply for regular Social Security as well. And so if that kicked in there, it's going to kick in on the regular Social Security benefits as well.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
All righty. Thank you, Randy. We appreciate your call. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Joy. How can I help?
Yes, thank you, Rob, for taking my call. I am legally blind and have been receiving Social Security since I was about 25, and I'm now 64. And I was listening to you about this ABLE account, and I was told when I applied back at 25 that I qualified for SSI as well as regular Social Security disability, and they would give me whichever one was the most.
Yeah.
So I guess the SSDI was the most. So what I was asking you is, does this ABLE account also include people that are on SSDI?
Yes. So there is the ability to have the ABLE account and still collect SSDI. So that would be something I would look at. Now, in terms of being legally blind, that would certainly qualify for an ABLE account. I think the key is, whether the onset of the disability, it has to have begun before age 26. However, in 2026, so a couple of years from now, January of 2026, that eligibility age rises to 46. So you're going to need to just make sure you comply there. But absolutely, if you're already receiving benefits under SSI or SSDI, you are eligible for the ABLE account. So I think the key is, the age of onset, whether you qualify for that today or you will qualify it for it in a couple of years from now as that age increases. So definitely something for you to look into, Joy. Again, that website is ABLE, ABLENRC.org, and I think that'll give you a lot more information. ABLENRC.org. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. Chris, I apologize that we didn't get to your question about your car purchase. If you want to hang on the line, our team will see if we can get your information and perhaps get you first up tomorrow on the broadcast. But thanks for calling into the program today. Well, folks, so thankful for your calls, for you listening, being a part of the program. Thanks also for your great emails and encouragement that come through the mail as well. Let me say thanks to my team today. I certainly couldn't couldn't do this without them. Taylor Standrich, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood, plus the incredible team behind those gentlemen here at FaithFi. Amazing that I get to work with them every day. Hope you have a great day. May the Lord bless you, and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.